I'm not sure if that's one of your expectations as you come to church on a Sunday, but your faith is renewed. When you come, it's a bit like those new electric car charging points that you come to church and you kind of plug in again and you charge your faith, you renew your faith. And I hope that's your expectation this morning as we come to God's Word, because that's what He promises it will do for us. So let's get our Bibles open to Joshua chapter 1 this morning. You'll find that on page 216 of the church Bibles. If you don't have a Bible, some of the stewards are poised, ready for action to carry one to you. There's one in the middle over here, a couple in the middle, some down the front over here. Thanks very much. Page 216. Just wait for people to find it. And I want to read the whole of Joshua 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, or the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your supplies ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. But to the Reubenites and Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the command that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you. The Lord your God is giving you rest and has granted you this land. Your wives, your children, and your livestock may stay in the land that Moses gave you east of the Jordan. But all your fighting men, fully armed, must cross over ahead of your brothers. You are to help your brothers until the Lord gives them rest, as He has done for you, until they have taken possession of the land the Lord your God is giving them. After that, you may go back and occupy your own land, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you east of the Jordan towards the sunrise. Then they answered Joshua, whatever you have commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as He was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your word and does not obey your words, whatever you may command them, will be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. Let's pray together, shall we, as we come to this part of God's word. Our Father in heaven, we want to ask for your help this morning. Father, it's a warm day. Perhaps many of us struggle to concentrate on a day that's so warm. And so we ask for supernatural help to tune into your words. Father, please would we know what it is to see Jesus on the pages of the Old Testament this morning. Father, renew our faith, recharge our faith. Help us to commit afresh to Jesus today. And we ask it in his name. Amen. Will you look with me, please, at verse 16? If you've got your Bible there, just look down at verse 16. The people of God standing before Joshua, the leader from God, and this is what they say: whatever you have commanded us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. I just want to pause for a moment and just take in those words, and I want to ask you this morning a question. Who would you say those words to? Who would you trust with your life so much that you'd be willing to look them in the face and say, whatever you tell me to do, I'll do it. And wherever you send me, I'll go there. Who would you be willing to say that to? Maybe you sit here this morning and you genuinely think, oh, I just can't think of anybody. Anybody that I would trust that much to give that kind of loyalty, that kind of commitment to. Given all that's happening in our country at the moment, all the changes of leadership and the things going on in Parliament, maybe you're sort of sitting here quite suspicious of leadership this morning and thinking, well, I'm not sure I could say to any leader that kind of devotion, whatever you tell me I'll do, and wherever you send me I'll go. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and the only person that you can think that you'd say that to is yourself. Well, I'll do what I command and I'll go wherever I want to go, but nobody else. Verse 16, whatever you have commanded, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. But what I want to show you this morning as we spend some time in Joshua chapter 1 is that these words are a model response for the Lord's people to the Lord's leader. These words are words from the mouths of God's rescued people. So those that I know we're leaping into Joshua this morning, but those that are speaking these words have been rescued out of their slavery in Egypt. They've been redeemed, they've been ransomed, they've been purchased with the grace of God. He's brought them to this place, and now they're journeying to a land that God's promised to give them, that they're advancing towards this land. And the Lord has raised up for them a leader, Joshua, who is going to lead them to the promised land. And these words are a model response of the Lord's people addressing the Lord's leader. And in a similar way, we sit here this morning as a church, as a group of people who have been saved by the grace of God, saved by our Lord Jesus. And we have a leader, the Lord Jesus, who is leading us to the promised land, to the new heavens and the new earth. And friends, these words, just take them in with me one more time. If you take nothing else away from today, I know it's a warm day. But verse 16 is a model response of what we should be saying to Jesus. And that is true whether that's for the first time this morning or whether that's for the 500th time. We should be saying to Jesus, Jesus, whatever you command us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. And this morning, using this chapter, what I simply want to do is by digging into this Bible character, Joshua, who leads us to the greater Joshua, Jesus, I want to show you three reasons this morning why we must say to Jesus, whatever you've commanded us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. And here is reason number one. Jesus is the Lord's servant. Jesus is the Lord's servant. A lot of you will know at the moment that we're in the process of trying to move house, which means that we get an awful lot of letters from the solicitor. But actually, one of the things that we've discovered is that they don't come from the solicitor, but they come from her assistant. They come from her servant. I know that's not what she's called, but in effect, that's what she is. And they come signed, but they come with her authority. This assistant, this servant, is working on behalf of the solicitor. And so we trust the letters that we get are the right thing. She signs them, PP, on behalf of the solicitor. And that's the picture in Joshua chapter 1 that we're given of Joshua. Joshua is, as it were, employed by the Lord to act on behalf of the Lord. Do you see that? That comes through really clearly in the first six verses. I want you to see that. Just look down. Verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then you and all these people get ready to cross the River Jordan into the land I am about to give them to the Israelites. You see how this works? Joshua is raised up. He didn't just one day sit in a tent and think, I'd like to lead the Lord's people today. The Lord raised him up. This is the Lord's choice of leader. And the Lord puts him up into this position where he says, you are going to lead my saved people towards the promised land. Joshua is the Lord's choice, raised up by God to do God's work. What do the saved people of God need more than anything else as they journey to the promised land? They need a leader. They need a leader of the Lord's choice. A leader who will carry out the Lord's plans. Now, again, just look down at verses 1 to 6. This is God addressing Joshua, and he says to him, look at verse 6. Verse 5, no one will be able to withstand you, up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. This is the Lord's choice of leader to carry out the Lord's plans. Now, all the way through verses 1 to 6, it says, God says, I will do this. I will give you the land. I promise to do this. I swore an oath, I will be with you. God speaking, I. But how's he going to do it? He does it through his leader, through his servant, through the man he's appointed to lead. Joshua, employed by the Lord, carries out the Lord's plans. He's the Lord's servant. Now, I just want to pause on that title, okay? The Lord's servant, because this is really an important phrase in the Bible. It comes up over and over again. You see, look at verse 1. Who's it given to in verse 1? It's given to Moses. Moses is the servant of the Lord. He's the one that the Lord raised up who carried out the Lord's plans. Moses rescued the people out of Egypt and he led them through the wilderness. He led them to the edge of the promised land. He's the Lord's servant. He's doing the Lord's work. By the end of the book of Joshua, Joshua inherits this wonderful title, the Lord's servant, the one employed by the Lord to do the Lord's work. As we journey through the Bible, you then see that this title is applied to King David. David, the king, God's raised up king, God's choice of king, is called the Lord's servant. Why? Because he's raised up by God to carry out the Lord's plans in God's world. And then, as you journey through the Bible a little bit further, you get to the book of Isaiah. And there's this mysterious figure, this figure called the servant of the Lord. And this servant of the Lord is kind of bundles in all the different servants of the Lord so far. So you get a little bit of Moses and a little bit of Joshua and a little bit of David. And this servant of the Lord, this mysterious figure, is going to come and he's going to lead God's people. He's going to save them by his death. He's going to rise again. And then he will lead the people he saved to the promised land. You see, without a leader, God's people are lost. And what leader do we need? We need the Lord's leader. In his kindness, he appoints a servant, someone who works on his behalf to carry out his plans. If we are going to save verse 16, or the people were going to save verse 16 to anybody, you'd want it, wouldn't you, to be the leader that the Lord had provided? The Lord's servant? And how much more true is this then of our Lord Jesus for us? Jesus is the one who inherits the title servant of the Lord. See, foreshadowed, isn't he, in this chapter by Joshua? Joshua was a leader for a period of time. He led the people to the promised land, but he's just a picture. He's just a picture of where the Bible story heads, to the greater Joshua, to our Lord Jesus. Jesus is the leader that is raised up from the Lord, by the Lord. He is the one who carries out the Lord's plans. Why? Because he is the Lord. Jesus, like Moses, like Joshua, like David, inherits this title, servant of the Lord. The one who works is an agent for God's activity in this world. Matthew 12. Matthew sort of sees all that's going on with Jesus. He sees his miracles, and then he starts quoting Isaiah, and he says, this mysterious figure of Isaiah, that's Jesus. He says of him in Matthew 12, here is my servant whom I have chosen. In Acts chapter 4, Jesus is referred to as God's holy servant, Jesus. That's what he is. He's a servant of the Lord. He's the leader that the Lord has raised up to lead his people to the promised land. Jesus is the leader who is leading his people even today. And the New Testament confirms this to us over and over again. The voices from heaven. Some of you will know the Bible quite well, perhaps others not so well. But in the New Testament, over and over again, you hear voices from heaven. The voice of the Father saying, this is my Son, my chosen one. Listen to him. Follow his lead. Say verse 16 to him, whatever you've commanded us, we will do. Wherever you send us, we will go. Why? Because he's the Lord's choice of leader. He's the leader he's given us to lead us to the promised land. Jesus is the servant of the Lord. And that's why we can say verse 16 to him. He's not just come from anywhere. He's not self-promoted. He's the Lord's servant. And in effect, when you're following him, you're following the Lord, because he is the Lord, because he's God himself. Reason number two, you still with me? It's a warm morning. You okay? Give me a nod of aliveness. Yes, good. Some of you are there. Reason number two is that Jesus leads by the book. Why can you say to him, I'll do whatever you say? Because Jesus leads by the book. Now, one of my children, who will remain nameless this morning for security reasons, and for my sanity, gets very concerned if we aren't following instructions, if we aren't doing things by the letter, doing things by the book. So, for example, if we are on the train platform and the sign says, stay behind the yellow line, if any of us gets dangerously close to the yellow line, she gets very uptight. But there's a sign. You must not cross the yellow line. But how are we going to get on the train? You have to cross it at some point to get on the train, but she's very uptight. She's got to follow the letters. If a board game, you know, we get given a board game as a family, and it says not for children under six, she becomes like, oh, I've given it away, she. That's okay, you've now got three choices. Okay, she, them, that person, doesn't like you, anyone near six and under, to go near the game. It says on the box, this is for six and under. She lives by the book. She follows the instructions. Now, as we encounter Joshua, we meet a man who is told to lead by the book, to lead by God's book. Look at verse 7 to 9. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Joshua, let me try and put it like this morning. Joshua was to live by and to lead by the word of God. That was what his life was meant to be as a leader. Verse 7, he is to obey it. He's to stick with it. He's not to turn to the right or the left. God set him a path to walk in his word, and Joshua is meant to be a man who follows that path. Now, to obey something, you have to know it, right? How many of us guys refuse to read instruction books when they come through and we wonder why we can't get it right? But you have to know something first in order to do it. And so the book, the Word of God, is so useful because it guides us in the way we should go. But in order to do it, he has to know it. Verse 8, he was to mumble it. Now, I know it doesn't say that there, but that's the phrase. He was to be on his mouth. You know, just as an aside here, if you ever want to be someone who tries to memorize God's word, actually saying it out loud is a really good thing. If you want to be someone who kind of doesn't get distracted easily when you're trying to read the Bible in the morning, say it out loud. Now, I know there may be somebody else in the room that doesn't want you to speak out loud at the time. Go and find somewhere you can. Actually, having something on your mouth, mumbling it, when you're walking down the street trying to say something is a brilliant way, and it's commended to us in the Bible. Let this word always be on your mouth. In order to live it, he had to know it. And so he was to mumble it. He was to think about it. He was to memorize it. He was to chew on it day and night. And he, at a deeply personal level, was to live by God's words. This leader that God had raised up. Living God's way in God's world. He was to obediently put God first. He was humbly to rely upon the prescribed sacrifices that Moses had talked about for the forgiveness of his sins. He was diligently to remember the festivals that reminded them of God's salvation. He was to be generous. He was to make sure that the community operated well. Joshua was to live by the word, to live by the book. And as God raised him up, it wasn't just that he was to live by it, but he was then to lead with it as well. And that's what we see going on really in verses 10 to 15. This bit about the Reubenites and the Gadites. You see, his very first act of leadership, what do you find him doing? Moses said this. Do you see that? What's he doing? He's leading with the law. He's leading with the book. He's leading with the words that God had given to Moses. Now, I'm afraid I'm going to give you a bit of a spoiler alert if you're new to this. But actually, Joshua did lead the people. I mean, they were pretty disobedient sometimes, but Joshua led the people in obedience. And when you get to the next book of the Bible, Judges, you discover that when Joshua died, the people slipped into disobedience. Because here was a man who followed the law and who said, as for me and my household, we're going to serve the Lord. But when he disappeared, what happened to the people? Well, they stopped obeying. Here was a man who led by the book, who led with the word of God. And as people pledging their allegiance, verse 16, if you're still with me, as people standing before Joshua saying, whatever you command us, we will do. Wherever you send us, we will go. It's not that they're just submitting themselves to Joshua's kind of given day. And if he's having a good day and he tells everyone, right, you need to clean my car today and you need to, you know, do all this for me today. And then on a good day, he's like, oh, now we're going to do what God says. No, he wasn't like that. They committed themselves to Joshua because he was a man who led with the word of God. And friends, for us, how much more true is that of our Lord Jesus? He is a man who lived by the book. He's a man who lived obediently to the word of his Father in heaven, not turning to the right or the left. He was perfect in obedience. He mumbled the law. He must have done, we know, because on the lips of Jesus, lots of times we find quoting the Old Testament. Not least when he's hanging on the cross. Some of the things that just come out of his mouth are the law that he'd meditated on day and night. Even at 12 years old, I don't know who the youngest person, I think there's some 12-year-old guys up there. At 12 years old, Jesus was found sitting in a temple, sitting at the feet of the teachers. Why? Because he wanted to live by the book. He wanted to live by what God said. And as he faced trial before the Jewish leaders, not one of them could find a reason to accuse him. Hebrews tells us that he was like us in every way, yet without sin. Jesus is the one whom the Father said, I'm really pleased with him. Why? Because he lived by the book. Jesus achieved where we have failed. Where Adam and Eve couldn't even just keep one word of the Lord. Jesus achieved. And that is what qualified Jesus, friends, to be our Savior. It is the fact that he's a leader who lived by the book, who lived by the word of God, that qualified him to be our substitute, that he could swap places with me at the cross and be punished for every time I have failed to live by the book, so that I could be forgiven, I could be part of the saved people that he is leading to the new heavens and the new earth. And friends, our Lord Jesus doesn't just live by the book. He wasn't just obedient to the book, but he now leads us by the book. By what book? By this book. Jesus leads us with his words. Today, actively risen and in heaven, how is he leading his people? With the word of God. As it's taught to us, as we read it, as we share it in conversation, as we allow it to shape us, as he sends his spirit to make it live in us, the Lord Jesus is now leading us by his word, by the book. Look again at verse 16 and 17, were you with me? Whatever you have commanded us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. This morning, if you are going to say that to anyone, if you are going to give that kind of loyalty to anyone, then is there anyone better than the Lord Jesus to say that to? Because you know that what he says to us, what he commands us to do, and where he sends us will be in line with what God wants us to do, because he's God's leader. He's God himself. We need to listen to Jesus. We need to obey him because he's a man who leads with God's word, and he leads us God's way, and it's God's word that keeps us on track as we journey to the promised land. Reason number three. You're still alive? It is warm this morning. I'm really warming up here, so if you are, that's not to say I'm going to preach for hours. I'm warming up. You know, I'm not done that way. That's good. You are still alive. That's good. Here we go. Reason number three. Why can you say to Jesus this morning, why must you say to Jesus that you will go wherever he sends you, that you will do whatever he commands? Very simply, reason three is because Jesus is strong and courageous. And there's a certain room in our house which has no windows. It's strange, when we had an extension done, it just got boxed in. It's a bathroom. And one of my children, Levi, just cannot go to this room on his own because he's terrified. He's terrified of this tiny little room. And so if we say, look, Levi, you've got to go to the bathroom, he'll sit there, like kind of needing it more and more, and he'll just sit there. Now, Levi, you really need to go. I can't. And if eventually he does go, he moves at this sort of pace. Levi, you really need to go to the bathroom. Yeah. And then he'll come back and he'll say, did you go? No, like this. He can't go into this room. But if I stand up and I go with him, he's got this bravery and this courage. Yes, I'm not afraid of this room with no windows. I'm going to go on in. And he whoosh, slams the door open and goes on in confidently. Why? Because I'm with him. And actually, you see, this is the kind of picture that we're given of Joshua as a leader. God commands Joshua to such bravery because God promises to be with him. Verse 4. It appears four times actually in here. So look at verse 6. You'll see it there. Be strong and courageous. Verse 7. Be strong and courageous. And let's pause at verse 9. Have I not commanded you, God says, be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. Why? For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Joshua was to lead the people of God towards the promised land, advancing to the promised land with bravery, with strength, and with courage. If you know anything of the story, you'll know that when they came back from this land originally, they were all terrified. Because he said, oh, we feel like grasshoppers in their sight. They're all massive. It would be like it would be like picking the creche group here, the minis group, and setting them up to play rugby against the England rugby team. It kind of like, whoa, you've got all these two-year-olds against these whopping great 18-stone beasts. It's not going to work. There's a mismatch. And that's what they felt like. There were many times on their journey to the promised land that they had opportunity to fear the giant walls of Jericho, the giant people of the Anakites, that the five kings that grouped up against them with chariots. There was many times they had to be afraid. But Joshua, secure in the knowledge that the Lord was with him, that he was the Lord's servant, led the people with strength and courage. And there's something in us, isn't there, that wants to be a hero? There's a hero hunger built into all of us that would love to be Joshua. You know, you read chapter 1 and you think, oh yes, I want to be strong and courageous, and on my way to heaven, I'm going to back down all my sins, and I'm going to proclaim Jesus to the whole of Enfield, and everyone's going to believe, and I am a Joshua. You're not a Joshua, but you do need a Joshua. Actually, we're wimps who need a warrior leader. We need someone who's strong and courageous to lead us. What do we need on the way to the promised land more than anything else? We need a strong and a courageous leader, and that leader is Jesus. We need someone who faces the hard things with faith, not fear. We need someone who doesn't just kind of say, oh, I'm not afraid anymore, but advances with their faith. And that is why, you see, the people back then could say to Joshua, you know, whatever you command us, we'll do, and wherever you send us, we'll go. They knew they were about to go into some hard places, but they knew that their leader, the one the Lord had raised up, was strong and courageous. It was a bit like when I used to play rugby as a kid at school. There was just one kid who'd grown up much quicker than everyone else, and he was about twice the size of everyone else. And the tactic was very simple in rugby. We used to chuck him the ball, and then we all used to run behind him, and he would just knock everyone else out of the way. He was the strong and courageous one. We just tucked in behind him. We didn't want to get hurt. And that's what the people of God are like. We become strong and courageous. We become brave, not because we are inherently, but because we follow one who is. And when he's with us, we can be strong and courageous too. And friends, that is what is true of the Lord Jesus. Jesus is our strong and courageous leader. And in a few moments, we're going to take bread and some grape juice together to remember the courage and strength of our Savior Jesus. If you've got little boys in this room and you ever want to encourage them to bravery, pick Jesus as your example, because he is the bravest one who's ever lived. He is the most courageous one. He is the one who faced judgment at the cross on my behalf. And it says, as he went to the cross in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. He was so overwhelmed by what was about to do him. Did he bail out? No. He was strong and courageous, and he went to the cross. He courageously did battle with Satan in the wilderness. He courageously endured the cross to destroy Satan's work. And he still leads us today. Do you know what? It's the strong and courageous presence of our Lord Jesus that enables people to stand up in the public sphere and speak the truth about Jesus, even when it's not popular. It is the strength and courage of Jesus that enables people like us to share the good news of Jesus with people we know who don't really want to hear it. It is the strength and courage of Jesus that enables us to pursue this town with the gospel. It is strength and courage of Jesus with his people that enables Christians in other countries under severe persecution to stand firm rather than to deny Christ. It is the strength and courage of Jesus who helps believers like us to say no to sin and yes to righteousness. You cannot do that in your own strength. But you can if you say to Jesus, I'll go where you tell us to go. I'll do what you tell me to do. Do you know what? The Lord Jesus often calls us into situations that are tough. Whether that's a life circumstance, whether that's a situation where it's going to be hard to proclaim the gospel, a community that's hard. But he says to us, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. And why is that significant? Because he's strong and courageous. Because he's the one who the Lord is giving success to wherever he goes. Because no one can stand against Jesus all the days of his life. That's what we read. When we are weak, he is strong. So will you look with me just one more time at verse 16? Whatever you have commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Is there anyone really that is more worthy for you to say that to than our Lord Jesus? You can say that to Jesus this morning because he's the Lord's servant and therefore he's going to lead you the Lord's way. You can say it because he leads you by the book. He leads you with God's word. He leads you on the right path. And you can say it this morning because he's strong and courageous. And if anyone is going to get you to heaven, the new heavens and the new earth, it will be Jesus because he's our strong and courageous leader. And I just want to finish this morning with verse 18. Verse 18 is a warning. Whoever rebels against your word, Joshua, whoever rebels against your word and does not obey your words, whatever you have commanded them, will be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. You see, the chapter finishes with a warning to us this morning. It's a warning not to ignore the leader the Lord has provided. He leads us by the book, and he leads us into the promised land. And if this morning you're sitting here and you're not submitting to Jesus, you're not willing to say to Jesus, whatever you've commanded us, we will do. Wherever you send us, we will go. Then actually, can I urge you this morning that actually the right thing to do is to say to Jesus, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I have not submitted to your leadership in that way. Please forgive me. And whatever you command me, including to repent and believe in you, I will do. And wherever you send me, whether that's into a hard circumstance in life, whether that's to another country to preach Jesus, whether that's just down the road to preach Jesus, I will do it. I will go. Let's bow our heads, shall we, and pray together. Our God and our Father in heaven, we want to say thank you this morning for Jesus. Father, we thank you that he is the leader that you have provided us with. He is your servant. And thank you that every servant you had raised up before Jesus finds its fulfillment in him. We thank you that he is our Moses who rescues us from slavery, redeems us. Thank you that he is our Joshua who leads us to the promised land strong and courageously. Father, we thank you that he is the servant of Isaiah, the one who was despised and rejected, who was punished in our place to bring us life. And Father, we praise you for him. Father, forgive us for where we have not been as loyal to him as we should, where we have not submitted control to him as we should. And Father, we ask this morning that having seen something of the glory of Jesus afresh, you would urge us to be those who leave here this morning saying, whatever you've commanded us to do, Jesus, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Father, we need your help to do that, please. And Father, for those of us here this morning that are struggling with various things, various situations that you've put us into, you've allowed to come across our path, Father, please today, would we know the help of the strong and courageous Jesus who says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. And we ask these things in his name. Amen.